And that's why we have such a learning crisis in the United States. We're not competitive with the world. The U.S. started this big thing called STEM learning, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, because that's where we're the weakest. And so all of this was supposed to be a way to teach our students to think critically, to problem solve. So now you'll hear a lot of STEM education. It's a big thing. There's even STEM schools. And do I think it's helping a little bit? Yeah, it is, but it's still not enough. You know, we need more of that hands-on learning, you know, not just for VOTEC students, for all students. And now where I'm teaching at the Wilkes-Barre Area School District, there is a lot of really sad stories, but I don't let the kids use that as an excuse, because I always say to them, you know, education is the one thing no one can ever take away from you. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, you will always have your education, because your knowledge is your power.
It still hits. I don't miss it. It's go, 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 like a go, go flow. And I'm almost known. And I told you so. When I throw these flows, like a slow shimbo. And I ain't too close. It's your small goals. And I'm on my grind. That is all the time. I do not do breaks. That's right. I stay in dry. And look, I'm back with a little bit of that. A little more cash than I came in with. Ready, that cat is out that bag. But I still ask, the boy got skills. I don't need her. I don't need him. I don't need help with me. I got this. I can sing songs. I can spit raps. And I can do both. Even do this. Word.
Support for the On the Stacks podcast comes from Montage Planning Partners. Partnerships like this make our community a better place to live and work. That's why Montage Planning Partners is proud to support the important work of On the Stacks. When it comes to financial planning, most financial companies ask, "What's your salary?" At Montage Planning Partners, we ask, "What's your story?" We know building the right financial plan means looking at more than just money. That's why we start by asking the right questions, listening to what matters most to you, then guiding you every step of the way to help you live the life you want. Now and years from now. Plan your financial story with Montage Planning Partners with Northwestern Mutual, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Contact Montage Planning Partners today. Visit montageplanningpartners.com for further information and disclosures. This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the pioneers of the portable wood-burning sauna. Did you know that using the sauna 3 to 4 times per week could reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 50% and make you 60% less likely to experience Alzheimer's disease? That's why I've been a big fan of the sauna for years. But having to go to a crowded gym to do it isn't ideal. And all the at-home options are bulky and expensive. That's why I only use the Sweat Tent for my sauna needs. It's the most storable and affordable wood-burning sauna on the market. It not only takes minutes to set up, but it can reach 200 degrees Fahrenheit in 30 minutes or less. So whether you're enjoying it yourself in your backyard, with friends, or in need of a reliable sauna on the go, Sweat Tent is your best choice for the most portable, storable, and enjoyable outdoor sauna experience. All On the Stacks listeners will receive $100 off when you use code OTS. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code OTS at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code OTS. Sweat Tent, helping you fire up your home wellness routine. This episode is brought to you by Wilkes Consulting, a Ramsey-preferred coaching firm. Are you drowning in debt? Is the weight of financial stress holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? Then it's time to break free and regain control of your financial future. Wilkes Consulting specializes in financial and debt consulting. Their team of 4 highly trained Ramsey Solutions advisors are ready to help you take charge of your money. Whether you're looking to get out of debt, pay off student loans, or simply need assistance on how to prepare to buy a home, Wilkes Consulting can help you fine-tune your budget and provide the resources and guidance you need to meet your goals. Don't let debt or the fear of finances control your life any longer. Head over to wilcopa.com and book a hassle-free, no-obligation call. Your first step towards financial freedom. Again, that's wilcopa.com, wilcopa.com. Wilkes Consulting, making financial independence a reality. This episode is brought to you by FitAF. If you haven't already noticed, I live and breathe entrepreneurship. Whether it's launching new ventures, attending pitch meetings, or mentoring budding entrepreneurs, my schedule is jam-packed. And that's where FitAF steps in. Their menu changes weekly, offering a variety of chef-inspired meals designed by nutrition experts using only the best quality ingredients, keeping me fueled and focused. Their vast selection of meals has you covered for all types of dietary restrictions and diet plans, including keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free, and more. As an On the Stacks listener, enjoy our exclusive offer. Get 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more when you use code OTS at checkout at fitafnutrition.com. Again, that's code OTS for 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more at fitafnutrition.com. Healthy meals and seamless nutrition, keeping entrepreneurs at the top of their game. What's up, podcast? I'm your host, Bill Corcoran Jr. here in the MPP studio. Janelle Seaton, welcome back to the On the Stacks podcast.
Hey, Bill, how are you? Thanks for having me back.
You know, I'm grateful to have you back. You're the star of the show now. You didn't have this last time, but now you rolled up, you know, with this. You literally have a star.
From the Hollywood Walk of Fame. That's right.
That's so cool.
Hollywood.
Yeah. You got the official plaque. You got your card here. Like, what was it? Tell me about this remarkable women experience you've had.
Yeah, so I am the WYOU-WBRE Most Remarkable Woman of 2024. And because of that, I got to attend this amazing conference with 111 other women in Los Angeles, California in April. And it was absolutely motivating, inspiring, humbling, and just made me really be very full of gratitude to meet these other women who are just absolutely incredible and hear their stories and share some of my story too. And, you know, we got to meet some celebrities and, of course, walk down the Hollywood Walk of Fame. We got a private tour of Warner Brothers Studios. So we got to see a lot of cool behind the scenes things there. Yep.
Wow.
Even got to see Sheila E. She was at our final commencement kind of graduation event, and then they came out, all the Nexstar executives came out with these gold bags at our final dinner, and you know, we were surprised with our very own Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Look at this
star.
Look at this. I'm trying to find the right place to hold it up. This thing is legit.
Yeah, made by the same artist. Yes,
of
the stars.
Of authentication on the back there.
Yeah,
my
it's really neat.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's super cool. I had you back here on the show for a reason. You're doing some awesome things, and plus I think too, like, I know, you know, we back in, you know, when you were first on the show, we talked a lot about education, right? It's what you do, but like, I feel like, you know, obviously it's been like 3 years since you've been on the show, and so much has changed, even just, well, first of all, just in, like, the last like year or two, let alone 3 years since you've been on. But education, you know, I was never, as you know, and we joke about this, I was never the best student growing up as a kid, right? But like, it's funny, the last guest that I had on right before you, him and I were also talking, he's not in education, but it somehow came up in conversation, and I said to him, like, I just have, like, almost like I have more respect for educators, I feel like, more than like the regular person, because like the work that educators have to do, like, but I can never do it. Let me just say that. I guess that's kind of what I was getting at. Is like,
right, it's not for everybody.
It's not.
Sure.
It's not for everybody, and it really does. No pun intended. It takes a remarkable person, literally, to be able to do that. Especially, you know, because you're not only teaching, but you're dealing with behaviors, and you're dealing with you know, as we were saying before we came on, middle school kids and all different. You know, it's just like, it's madness. It's craziness. And like, you know, thinking back to when I was a kid, and like, I was like a smart ass in the back of the room. Like, there's so much more at the end of the day than just teaching. Like, there's so much more. And I know, and I'm sure you'll probably talk a little bit about it too, but the involvement that you have in the community and trying to make like the lives of these kids better each and every day, like, it's more than just being an educator. And I think now more so than ever, it's so important for people like you who really, really, really care. Cause I think you're truly a rare breed. And I think I said it to you last time on here, but anytime I ever talk about, you know, education to anyone else, you're one of the first people I always think about. And I would just say, like, Janelle is just a rare freaking breed.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Bill.
And I really, really truly mean that, obviously, you know, because, you know, obviously you've done some great things, but you can tell when somebody cares more than the average person, and you truly do care way more than the average person. And I love having conversations and being with people that, you know, it's to me, and again, you know, I'm just kind of speaking for you here, but it seems like this is more than just a job for you. This is a lifestyle. This is like you're all in on this thing.
Oh yeah,
and I love
that. This is my calling. I was born to be a teacher.
And not many people can say that. Like, there's not many people I feel like that can actually say, like, I was born to do this. Like, this is my purpose. This is my thing. And like, you really can say that. Like, you live and breathe it. And I love that.
Yeah, it's definitely my thing, and I love it. I could never do anything else. I know teaching isn't for everybody. It's definitely hard. It has its days. I'm just coming up on the end of my 17th year as a public school teacher, an English as a Second Language program specialist. And to be honest, these 17 years have gone by so fast. It's like I can't believe I'll next year, you know, in the fall, I'll be hitting year 18. I'm now more one of the veteran teachers in the district. And it's just unbelievable because the time has just gone by so fast. But you know what they say, you know, if you love your job, you'll never work a day. And that's truly what it is for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's
and not many people can say that.
No.
Which I think is so cool because, again, like you look around at how many people really are just miserable with their lives for whatever reason. And I would bet almost any amount of money on it that majority of that comes from they just don't like where they're at in life. And a lot of it revolves around your career, your job, like what you do, because, you know, you spend, you know, whether you work 40 hours or 60 hours a week, depends on how much extra time people put in. But like that's majority of your time spent. And majority of your time is spent, you know, with your career. You know, you spend more time doing that than you do at home. You know,
and you know, it's funny, Bill, because this is what I tell my students. You know, they're with me 8 hours a day, and then they're at home for about 8 hours a day, and then they sleep for about 8 hours a day, if that, you know, because they're middle school students. Right. So maybe a little bit less because they're playing their games and doing their social media stuff. But I always say, you know, 1/3 of your day is with me or, you know, at school. We might as well do something. You might as well learn something. So, like, let's make the most out of it.
Yeah, make it worth it because it's a significant amount of your life.
Absolutely.
Like, and not even just you, like once these kids move on and you know, moving, you know, going up in you know, grades, like it's like, you know, a huge portion of their lives is spent with someone like you. And it's like the impact that you can have on these kids. Like it's, you know, looking back on it now, like as an adult, as I feel like I'm a little bit more mature these days. Right. But like looking back at like the impact that teachers can really have, positive or negative. Because, you know, I don't want to say there's bad teachers out there. I don't want to like cast any negative light on educators by any means. But, you know, like there's teachers that definitely have a much bigger impact on students. And even like I think about it a lot more, like even just me doing what I'm doing, the more that I'm doing this too. And again, it has, you know, obviously it's not education related, but it's just a parallel that I'll draw is, there's a lot of people that watch and consume, listen, however they consume, I'll say, our content here.
Right.
And I know, because people have reached out and obviously told me, right? But I also know there's also a lot of people that are probably watching and listening that don't tell me and don't like actually let me know. They're actually, you know, being positively affected by the content. And it's like, you never know. First of all, you never know who's watching or listening, right? And you never know who you're affecting. And every day, whether you know it or not, you're affecting and probably changing the lives of people just by literally doing what you do.
Absolutely.
And like, it's just so powerful to think about that.
Right. It could just be something so small. You know, a lot of times I volunteer during my lunch for cafeteria duty. So I get to know, you know, some of the kids that I don't necessarily have in class. And, you know, one young man this year in sixth grade, he called me over and he said, you know, can you help me with this? Can you check this over? And I said, yeah, sure. No problem. And he thanked me. And then the next, you know, week I saw him, he said, hey, how'd you wind up on that science test? And he said, oh, I got like a 95. And, you know, we always have like a friendly exchange. And, you know, he's impacting me as much as I hope I'm impacting him. But just that smile or that hello or that acknowledgement is just so important. Mm. And you know, teachers, you know, even schools in general, when you think about it, for this next generation coming up, there are no more stay-at-home moms or very few. And even stay-at-home grandparents probably are, you know, going by the wayside because mm-hmm. people are working longer.
Yeah.
So schools really have this power to impact their community. And so as an educator, I know that this is my thing to, you know, impact as many kids as I absolutely possibly can in any way I can. And they also in turn are impacting me. You know, they might learn something new or, you know, find a new app on their phone or a new game and they show me things. You know, the other day I was in a colleague's classroom and one of her students was doing this quick draw on Google and I had never seen it before. And so you're drawing something and then it guesses what you're drawing as you're drawing it, but you only have 20 seconds. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is such a cool thing. Can you teach me and show me? And so we did. And I was like, wow, that's great. You know, we just had a really good impact on each other.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that.
That's I'm really glad that you brought that up. And that's a very interesting, outlook to have on it, because not that I haven't realized that too, but like just thinking back to like every guest, you know, obviously I've done over 200 of these, you know, some people, obviously this is your second time on the show, and if anybody ever wants to go back, obviously you can check out Janelle's been on the show before, but yeah,
episode 80,
that's right. But 3 years ago, but it was you know, looking back on it now too, like after experiencing how many people I've spoken to and, you know, all these conversations, like I've also learned so much from the other people. And, you know, so shout out and thank you to every guest that's ever been on the show, like for real, because there's always something that I take away from this too. Like almost just like a listener would, like anyone that's listening or watching, like they're gaining some value from it. And I'm gaining value and you know, and knowledge from it, just from all the different people, all the different backgrounds, all the different knowledge that has been discussed at this table. And it's really cool to think about, because just like you said, it's really cool to hear you say what you said, because, you know, I think there's a lot of people, not necessarily just teachers or educators, but in any profession, that aren't humble enough to say, oh yeah, I'm still learning every day too. The kids taught me something. And like, yeah, that's really cool to hear, because sometimes you would think that a lot of people like wouldn't really say that. They would just like kind of have like this like braggadocious, like, oh, like I'm the teacher, I'm the educator, I'm teaching them, you know, but like,
right.
Not a good practice.
Yeah, though. Not I know. A good practice, I know. To have.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't have an ego. You can't have an ego when you're a teacher. That's what makes a good teacher.
In anything, really, but no, especially what you're doing. And for you to, it's just, I really love the fact that you like acknowledge that and say like, this kid taught me that. This kid inspired me to go do this, because that's so cool. Like, to know that you're affecting their lives and they're affecting your lives, like the whole thing is just symbiotic, and it's really, 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 really cool to see.
It really is awesome, you know. And there are days, you know, when it's you have challenges, you know.
Sure.
You have challenging students who have behaviors and who have, I mean, some just really sad home lives, you know. I never knew what was a few miles down the road from where I grew up. You know, I'm from West Pittston, Pennsylvania, and I went to Wyoming area at the time, in the late 90s, and I'm class of 2000, and, you know, we didn't really have a lot of those types of students. And now where I'm teaching at the Wilkes-Barre Area School District, there is a lot of, you know, really sad stories. And, but I don't let the kids use that as an excuse, because I always say to them, you know, education is the one thing no one can ever take away from you. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, you will always have your education, because your knowledge is your power. And so I'm trying to teach them that and, you know, inspire them and impact them to realize, hey, you know, maybe I don't have the best home life, or, you know, maybe I don't have those new sneakers or that awesome cell phone that the kid next to me has, but you know what? I have knowledge, and knowledge is power. And one day, maybe I'll have that job that I want, and I could buy 20 pairs of sneakers.
Yeah, I love that. That is so powerful. And, you know, thinking back on it too, I'm pretty sure, like, I've had some teachers, and I don't even remember who, that probably said a similar, that whole knowledge is power statement. And not that I didn't take it serious, you know, as a kid, but as a kid, you know, you're a kid, you know, but right. Like, you know, now, like, looking back on it and like just kind of reflecting as you're telling these stories, like I'm having flashbacks of like when I was in high school, right? Some good, some bad, right?
Right.
But like hearing that, like, it's so true. Like, knowledge is power. And, you know, again, like, you know, not to get into like college, right? But like, you know, like, you know, I don't think college is for everybody. There's vocational school. There's all those other things that kind of like get looked down upon. And like, I feel like our generation, like, we were kind of, I don't want to say we were forced to go to college. And I don't regret anything. Like, I'm happy with everything, every decision I've ever made, every experience I've ever had, because it really made me who I am today.
Right.
But like nowadays, like, you question like, do you really need to go to college and this and that? But, you know, some things for sure, obviously, if you're going to go be a doctor, if you're going to be an educator, if you're going to, you know, do certain things that require, obviously, that next level of education and the certifications, everything you need, obviously, that goes, you can't get hired without that stuff. Obviously,
right,
it
right.
makes sense. But like, you like, really, like, you know, obviously, I mean, I haven't always been a big reader, but I read a lot more now than I ever have in my life. And again, it's education. It's just continually learning. I still consider myself like a student of the game, like at everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, cause you have to be. And just going back to, like you said, like, if you can't humble yourself and do it, like, man, like, you're not going to get very far, because you don't know it all. And no matter what, like, we're all still learning.
Right.
That's and in worst, everything.
Right. That's the worst thing anyone could ever say, is like, I've always done it this way, and I'm not changing.
I hate that.
And, you know, we've all had those teachers, myself included. Yeah. And I always say, I will never do that to a student, yeah. you know, because everybody learns different.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many different styles out there. And these kids, well, the kids that I teach, they come from all over the world. So they're coming from all different types of educational backgrounds. And some of them have had like interrupted schooling where maybe, you know, they went to school till they're about 10, 11 years old, and then they have to start working, you know, to support the family, to help the family live. So they might have interrupted education, but it doesn't mean that they don't have something that they could bring to the table. They might not do it the way that we do it, or we were taught to do it, but they have other things
and perspective.
Yes.
And different
that they
perspective.
Can really, you know, I was reading an essay. I have a student this year who immigrated here from Nicaragua. And so they had to write this, it's called this I Am Writing Project. So they have to reflect upon themselves, you know, so the first one's about themselves. And then the second one is their childhood and so on and so forth. There's a little more to it, but I'll just leave it for that for now. And he wrote, you know, how thankful he is to be in the United States and to be able to go to school because he had to drop out of school in his home country. And he just loves the fact that we have every kid as a computer and that, you know, they have technology in the classroom. And I'm like it was just so deep. I mean, this is from like an eighth grade boy writing this, and I'm reading it just like jaw dropped. I'm like, wow, this kid is so deep. Like, he has so much more below the surface that, you know, if you
he's got perspective as young as he is.
Yeah. If you didn't take the time to look at it or to have like an assignment like that, you might just pass him over.
Yeah.
You know, because he's not one to raise his hand. He doesn't really have a lot of the skill that some of the other students have, but he's definitely deep, and there's a lot there. You know, once you start peeling off the layers of the onion,
unpacking it.
It's really unbelievable. Some of the things that these kids really have either been through or, you know, they hope and dream for themselves.
And it's also crazy too. Like, you brought up also a good point. It makes me think about like how sometimes I want to say like, we take some things for granted. Like, look at this kid. Like, he is like beyond grateful, literally just to be here. Like, just to exist here, he's grateful for that. Like, the average kid probably doesn't say that, except for, you know, so a kid like that who's like you said, he had to leave school and, you know, uprooted and all that whole thing. Like, the fact that he has that perspective at such a young age and is grateful for it, like, that whatever that kid does, he's probably going to excel a lot in life.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, the knowledge and the perspective that he has at such a young age, that's going to serve him so well down the road. And like, hope to God, like, he like maybe listens to this like now in the present, or maybe in the future he finds this episode, and I hope to God like he's crushing it somewhere. Maybe he'll have a star like you someday. But like, it's so cool to think, because again, like, it's people like that like rise up out of the ashes, that like when they're kicked to the curb tend to thrive. You know, obviously it could go one of two ways. You can go really sour south, or you can use all those bad experiences, if you want to call it, or you know, or all the shit that you've been through, and you can really hone that and turn it into a positive and use it as motivation to excel and to better yourself, education or whatever. Just follow whatever dream you want to do, and the true American dream, right? Like, you know, like I think, you know, kids like that, like coming to the United States, like I almost can't even comprehend it. Because, like, I don't know any different.
Right.
And it's like, you know, like we're sitting here right now in, like, this comfortable place and just having this conversation. I think a lot of times we all take some of that stuff for granted.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I have to say, just to go back a little bit, you were talking about, you know, kids going to college and things like that. So I was helping my eighth graders with their schedule for ninth grade. And I'm really proud to say that all of them are, I think, except for maybe one or two, which is okay, are going to the VOTEC to learn a trade. And it's really cool because the VOTEC didn't used to have ninth graders really this big perspective. Yeah. So now they go into a shop every quarter. So they're seeing, you know, fourth shops that they might be interested in, and then hopefully finding one that they like or not like. Mm-hmm. And then moving on, you know, in 10th grade, focusing in more on just that specific trade skill, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. So what are you seeing, like, in your experience right now in the present day? Like, what is your experience with seeing kids that either want to go to college or want to go to a trade school? Like, what are you seeing? I'm curious to know from an educator standpoint.
Yeah, most of the kids that I teach are hands-on learners, so they really want to learn trades, and that's they're extremely respected in the countries that they're from, the tradesmen. So I'm really seeing a trend towards that. I do have other kids who also want a college degree as well. And even some kids who want to go out and be in the military. So it's really a mix. Mm. It's a good mix of.
Are you seeing more? Things. Are you seeing more people like that? The more kids, maybe, because again, like I think our generation, you know, is more so like we're. I think it was more people went to college. I think was kind of like the, or like it was by society frowned upon. Like if you didn't go to college, you weren't gonna get a job, or you weren't gonna get a good job, or you were right. A loser, and like there's all like that stigma, right? And like I feel like. I mean, there's obviously, I'm sure you probably know too, and everybody knows, like, there's like a shortage of people working in trades nowadays. Like,
oh, huge shortage.
Oh my God, like plumbers, electricians, like right. These guys can charge whatever the hell they want.
And
like,
they make a good buck.
And they probably make more than the rest of us.
Like, absolutely.
Because they're skilled, it's niche.
And everybody needs it.
The demand is there. Yeah. The demand is there now, I think, more than ever.
Oh, absolutely.
Because again, like all of our generation, everything, we all went to college. We're not in the skill. Like, I'm not a handy person, and I never will be.
Same.
Like, I'm going to hire them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm seeing, you know, the non-traditional things, not just the college education, because these kids, they want to be, you know, influencers, and they want to have their own YouTube channels. You know, it's just such a different perspective because they're 21st century learners. So they have all kinds of hopes and dreams. So it's definitely not just college bound. It's more than that. You know, they want.
I didn't even think about the content creator thing, avenue, because like that doesn't fit in the vocational thing. It doesn't fit in college. It's its own thing. And here I am with a YouTube channel, right? And I almost didn't even think about that. That's a whole nother, like a third dimension, I'll kind of call it, of like career or path. Like, because in all reality, like a kid right now, you can be an influencer and you can create a company and a brand and have your own business as a kid, and you could be making a ton of money as an influencer, even as a kid.
Oh, absolutely. Like a lot of the kids, they watch that Mr. Beast.
Yeah.
And they see all the things that he does. And, you know, they want to do something like that where they raise a lot of money and then go and give it to people who need it, you know, to help. And I think that's really cool. And some of their, you know, they're really they think outside the box. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just their generation because, you know, they carry the internet around in their pocket on their phones.
I know.
And they're always watching different things and seeing different things. And they're more worldly than we were when we grew up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we watch TV or listen to the radio where
they have the whole world at their fingertips.
They have the whole world at their fingertips and they're seeing everything. And I think that part of it is really cool because they, you know, most of them probably won't just get jobs and stay local, they're going to be worldwide.
Yeah. Do you, like, as far as like challenges and obstacles in education nowadays, like do you find that, you know, these kids like having a cell phone in their pocket, like do you compete with with these kids? Like,
absolutely.
Are they like over here at their desk like this? Like the, like how, like what's well, it, what's it like?
Well, not in my room because no cell phones are allowed in my room.
Okay.
And, you know, some teachers have like those old, remember calculator caddies that you would put on the back of the door and they make them go up there for,
put them in.
Yeah. Yep. For points
slot,
or whatever. Yeah. And
their
slots. And, you know, I thought about doing that. And then I was like, I thought about getting an old shoe rack, something like that. And then I was like, no, you know what? They're not getting anything for this. They're just not going to use their phones.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to put them in this envelope and they all have an envelope on their desk. So it's really quick. And then as soon as they walk in the room, the phone goes in the envelope and the phone goes underneath their desk. End of story.
That's it, huh?
They don't see it.
Okay.
No.
So
I'm not competing with it.
No? Okay.
Because they don't need it to look up anything because they have a Chromebook.
Gotcha.
So
they have another device in front of them.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay. But again,
is that given to them by the school?
Yeah. 1-to-1 ratio. Most schools are at a 1-to-1 ratio, which is awesome.
Wow. I don't even know what the heck's going on. I gotta hear more about this.
So different. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, the thing is they can't really go on anything that's not educational on their Chromebook cause it's all blocked. So there's no social media on there, but do they find backdoors sometimes? Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, they found a backdoor through like College Board. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. I'm like, how'd you get to that game? And they were like, I was like, don't worry, I'm not going to say anything. I was like, I just want to see, like, because you guys are really smart.
Yeah.
And so they showed me like this back doorway and I was like, wow, that's cool. And I was like, now do me a favor. Let me know how long it takes before they figure
block
that out
it,
and
yeah.
block it.
Yeah.
And so they did. They were like, 1 week, miss. We got 1 week, but don't worry. We're working on another
one. Working on the next one. Yeah.
Which I think is so cool. I mean, that's hard to find those back doors and stuff. I mean, I was like, wow, you guys could do cybersecurity. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah, because they're figuring out holes. They're figuring out problems.
Exactly.
Like, they're literally solving problems by doing what they want to do.
Exactly. And I was like, you could actually do that as a job. Like, I use that as, hey,
that's a perfect
do you know
example.
There's a career for you in cybersecurity? And they're like, oh, wow, I never thought about that.
Mm.
You know, so where somebody else might say, you know, you're not supposed to be on that game and what are you doing, blah, blah, blah. I try to always find something positive that I could bring to them, even if I have to correct the behavior
mm-hmm.
or correct the action, but then make a suggestion like, hey, you're really good at that. Why don't you think about a job in this or a future?
Yeah.
So just little things like that. Again, it's all in the approach.
Yeah. What about like online virtual learning? Like, how has that impacted what you do?
I mean, I just got done teaching a totally virtual class at Wilkes University this spring semester, and I really loved it. I didn't know how I was going to like it. I had to have 3 live virtual sessions, and then everything else was just, you know, on their platform, and it was really cool. It went really well, and I felt like it was convenient because most of the people that were in the class were already teachers just taking continuing education credits or, you know, they wanted to get their ESL certificate. And it was really neat because I still felt like I connected with them, you know, especially after I read like, you know, the course surveys and things like that. And I was like, oh, wow, they like somebody actually wrote like, wow, this person really loves ESL and loves what she does. And I was like, wow, that came across like that shows that virtual is awesome. You know, you could still get the learning out of it and that you could still make the connections. I think now more kids are choosing the cyber school option. You know, there's a lot of competition out there between cyber schools, even teachers. I had a few colleagues leave this year to go teach cyber school from home.
And why they decided to do that?
I think they like the flexibility of it and there's no behavior management.
Mm.
So when you're teaching virtually, you don't have to worry about competing with the phones. You don't have to worry about, you know, one kid picking on another kid or any of that management stuff. You could just focus solely on teaching.
Mm.
And so they get to work from home. So maybe they want to start their laundry before their lesson.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
they're able to do all that stuff, get their own kid off the bus.
Yep.
Which, you know, in-person schools are really we're at a major shortage for teaching. I'm actually a dying breed. Like my husband and I, you know, we're both public school teachers.
Yeah.
And like the two of us both being public school teachers and also the fact that we're still married after 12 years is also another
it's a feat.
Thing. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, 51% of marriages end in divorce in the first like
couple years or something.
Yeah, 8 years or something.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Might be less. Yeah.
So I'm always like, Chris, we're a dying breed, like in 2 ways.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, we have to do different things, offer things for our students, our future generations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with cyber school. I've taught both, you know, during COVID, we were completely remote.
Virtual.
And then we did hybrid too, where some kids were in person, some kids were at home. And I actually had a couple of students who were not doing so great in person, but they did stellar at home because maybe they're like night people.
And different environments.
Some kids are more comfortable at home. And when you take away all that distraction, you know, the kid next to you, the cell phone, right, the bullying, all that stuff.
It goes away. And then all of a sudden, it's like a light bulb goes off.
And they focus in on, okay, if this is all I have to do today, I could get these things done. And then the rest of the day is mine. So some of them, and especially the kids that I teach, we're going and working, you know. And I mean, not like our part-time jobs, Bill, where we, you know, bought a CD or whatever it is that we wanted at the time. This money goes to support the family.
Yeah.
Which is just, to me, it's so it's just so honorable and it's just such a beautiful thing, you know, and they don't even think twice about it.
Yeah. So you mentioned shortages. Like what are the shortages?
Okay. So in the United States, for the next school year, there'll be 55,000 vacant teaching positions.
55,000?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Pennsylvania, there'll be 2,000.
Wow.
But there's also over 6,500 teachers currently teaching on emergency permits, which means that they are not technically highly qualified to be teachers. So just to give an example, let's say you, what's your undergraduate degree in, Bill?
PR.
Okay, perfect. So you have a bachelor's degree.
Yep.
Let's say you apply to be a English teacher, mm-hmm. right? And no other English teachers apply for the job. And so they say, well, hey, Bill has a degree in PR. Mm-hmm. He knows, you know, how to write, things like that.
Communication skills.
Yeah, English. He could probably teach, you know.
Yep.
And so what they do is they give you an emergency certificate. So
like a temporary, so you can, yes. just they can fill a seat.
Yes.
Like a teacher seat.
Yes. And you could do that for 3 years.
Really?
So, yeah. So wow. there's over,
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah. 6,500 positions right now, just in Pennsylvania, on emergency permits.
That's crazy.
Because they're.
And no knock on those people, but like, are they even qualified? Like, are these people like even qualified? I'm sure some of them probably are.
I mean, some of them, yeah. I think they do a great job, or they're on the road to being qualified. Mm-hmm. And others, you know, maybe they're there for the you know, nice hours in June, mm-hmm. July, and August, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I think the more city schools that you go to, you'll find some less qualified teachers. Mm. Like Philadelphia has major issues with the teacher shortage. They've been really bad for years.
It's like all the inner city schools are hurting, yes, a lot worse.
Yes, because again, teachers don't want to go in, deal with the behaviors, and then...
On the Stacks will be back in a flash after a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Elevation Wellness, NEPA's premier wellness center located on Mundy Street in Wilkes-Barre. From pro athletes to busy parents, Elevation Wellness is leading the conversation when it comes to bettering your health through integrative medicine. Founded by NEPA native Louis Helmecki, Elevation Wellness offers physician-formulated and guided treatments that are administered by registered nurses. To learn more about how you can experience the benefits of IV vitamin therapy, multivitamin booster shots, non-invasive aesthetics, or peptide, NAD, red light, and compression therapy, visit elevation-wellness.com or follow them on Instagram at elevationwellnessNEPA. All On The Stacks listeners will receive 10% off their first purchase with code STACKS at checkout. Call 570-762-9400 or visit elevation-wellness.com to book your appointment today. Elevation Wellness, taking your health to new heights. This episode is brought to you by Burn, the fitness company behind the Today Show approved Burn Board. If I'm being honest, working out can be a real chore, especially as a new dad in desperate need of sleep and cardio. Burn is founded by NEPA native Jimmy T. Martin, and his Burn Board offers a low-impact core and cardio experience unlike anything I've done before. They have hundreds of on-demand workouts that are great for beginners, seasoned athletes, and out-of-shape podcast hosts who love supporting small businesses. My wife and I use it pretty frequently throughout the week, and it's honestly a great way to burn a ton of calories without burning a ton of cash. Not to mention, it's a great tool for skiers, runners, wrestlers, and hockey players. Jimmy is offering all On The Stacks listeners 15% off when they use the code STACKS15. Visit theburn.com today to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15 at checkout. Again, that's theburn, THEBRRN.com to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15. It's time to get on board today with Burn.
We drive the same roads you drive. We face the same danger you face. When you're involved in a car or a truck crash, it's personal. Because we live here and raise our families here. We're invested here.
To learn more, visit Anzalone Law Offices online at anzalonelaw.com. This episode is brought to you by Loop Internet. Are you tired of buffering, lagging, and slow internet speeds? Look no further. Introducing Loop Internet, Northeastern Pennsylvania's fastest and most reliable internet service provider. With Loop Internet, you can stream, game, and work from home seamlessly. Say goodbye to interruptions and hello to lightning-fast connections. Loop Internet offers both residential and business fiber. Fast-track the future with their 10 gigabyte fiber and join the Loop Internet family today. Visit Loop Internet online at loopinternet.com or call 1-888-808-5667. Again, that's 1-888-808-5667, or visit them online at loopinternet.com. Loop Internet, where speed meets reliability.
And now we're back on the Stacks.
you know, you're in a low achieving school, your scores, even your rating could be affected, you know, because we're rated too. And so if you want to keep a good rating, you know, you might not want to teach in that low achieving school because it could pull you down.
Yeah, for sure. Do teachers actually even get the summer off?
No.
Because you know what? I think that's maybe a myth or a misconception. And to be honest, up until maybe not long ago, I would honestly, I'll admit that I'd be like, oh, teachers, they have the whole summer off. Like,
you were a hater, Bill.
I'll admit, at some point I was. I'll be completely honest, right? I have no shame in admitting that, right? But you know, obviously when I met you, the more I got to know you, and you know, we've spoken a lot, but like, you know, learning that, like, I think just talk about that for a minute, because everybody, I think, and again, I was, I'll put myself in that category as well, as one of those people who thought like, oh my God, teachers got it easy. They have that hour, they got the summer off, this and that. Like, so like, what is the summer really like?
So it all depends. Most of us hold second jobs. I think out of, this will be my 17th summer, I think I had one off. And that was to take classes. So I wouldn't even technically say it was off. That was like
you were kind of still working anyway, even though you were learning, but that's still working.
Yeah, I was taking classes. And, you know, this is when we look at our material that we've worked on all year and say, okay, what can I do better?
You're preparing for the next year.
Right. What can I add? What's something cool that I could add to the class, you know, to get these kids even more interested? Or, okay, this didn't work so well, but I know I still have to cover, you know, Diary of Anne Frank. That's a classic for eighth grade.
Yep.
What can I do to make it more interesting? Mm-hmm. And to be honest, this year I wanted to share what I did because it came out really cool. I was, you know, a lot of these kids don't know World War II history. And so I try to give that background first. And then I actually took a little professional development from Dr. Will Ramey.
No way. Shout out to Dr. Will.
Yep. On Lego Serious Play.
That's awesome.
And so we were watching some videos and just getting some background on the concentration camps. And it was very hard for the kids because it's really an emotional thing to watch and to learn about. And a lot of them had never been exposed to that. And you know, Fridays, I try to keep something fun. Of course, we still learn, but I do call it Fun Fridays, you know, as long as they earn it during
the
week.
Fun Fridays. I need to come to a Fun Friday.
Oh, Fun Fridays. You never know what I'm going to do. The kids are always like, oh, tomorrow's Friday. What is she going to do?
Kind of tricks does Miss S have up her sleeve?
Exactly. Yeah. You never know. It could be like a snack, a candy, whatever. So anyways, this Friday, I happened to pull out the Lego bin and I said, all right, you know what we're going to do? I want each of you to make something from the concentration camp. So then we actually had on my counter, you know, this display while we were reading the Diary of Anne Frank.
Wow.
And it was really cool. And one student actually took Lego pieces and he made a swastika.
Wow.
Out of it. And I learned something. We were watching some biographies and things on Hitler. And do you know that he wanted to be an artist and he was rejected?
Hitler?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, he went to Vienna. And so he was rejected as an artist. So he actually designed that swastika. And if you watch any of the, you know, historical background on it, you know, it's everywhere. It's on their uniform. They carried flags, you know, everywhere because it was his art.
Wow.
He was displaying it. And so one of my students made one out of Legos. And he said, because, you know, Hitler wanted to see his art displayed everywhere. And I was like,
that is mind blowing, Janelle.
It was amazing.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But that Lego Serious Play, I'm telling you, was awesome. And who would ever think like you could integrate Legos with World War II history and concentration camps? Boom.
Yeah,
we did
seriously.
It.
And the fact, you know, again, like, you know, Dr. Will Ramey, shout out to Dr. Will. He has a Leadership Decoded podcast. I got his little artwork hanging up over there. But yeah, that's really cool to see. So you got the idea from him?
Well, he just gave us the Legos, told us, you know, just gave us a little bit of training on it. And then I came up with the idea.
That's so cool.
Yeah, for a Fun Friday. And it worked out really cool.
That's awesome. Does Will know?
Oh, I sent him a picture.
Oh, did
you?
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so cool.
I sent him a couple things that I did with the Legos.
Next time I talk to him, I'm going to have to talk to him about it. That's really cool to hear. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so little things like that, you know, that you bring to the classroom. They're not, you know, they're not extremely costly,
right?
You know, they're nothing crazy, but the kids really, they're authentic learning. Mm-hmm. And that is so important and hands-on.
Yeah.
You know, the days of, you know, learning from a book, like reading a book and taking notes. I know. Don't fall asleep, Bill. I know you're already bored.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but we have to compete with, I mean,
you do.
Literally,
yeah, you're
the internet.
Yeah,
in their pocket.
You're competing with this right here.
Right.
Every second of the day.
Brutal.
Everybody, no matter what it is that you're doing, like literally, like even having a conversation with a friend, Like, you're literally competing with that device in their hand.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Like, man.
So you have to think outside the box. You have to do different things, you know?
Yeah.
And I do stuff like that. Like, I don't know why. My mom was just, every time, like, we would run out of, like, paper towels or a toilet paper roll, she would just save it. And I'm like, Mom, what are you doing with all of these? Like, they were in bags. Like, it was a disaster. Uh-huh. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. So I was like, oh, my God, we have to get rid of these. I'm like, I'm going to come up with something at school. So I brought them in on a fun Friday, and we did towers. And I said, okay, whoever could build the highest tower, you know, you get a snack or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And so they built these towers, and they were on teams, and it literally went from, and they couldn't use anything. They went from floor to ceiling with nothing, only the tubes you could use. I mean, it was so cool. It looked like I had poles in my room, like posts.
That's so funny.
It was like a jungle. The kids loved it. It was amazing.
That is awesome.
Yeah, stuff like that. But that's what.
Those are things that, like, I think more educators probably need to do, because, like you said, like, I know you and this is one thing, anytime you and I talk, you always say, like, everybody learns different. And I think if you don't, like, adapt to, you know, obviously you're not gonna be able to, it's not gonna be perfect. You're not gonna be able to, you know, help everyone. Right.
Right.
But, like, everybody does learn different. You know, like you said, there's the hands-on people. There's the people that, there's the book people, there's the test people, there's the project students. Right. Like, they're, you know,
the,
what I mean?
Visuals.
Right.
Like,
right. There's so much that goes into it. And I think, like, again, just like going back to, I think when I was like a kid in school, like, I'm more of like a hands-on kid. If it's something that I'm not like really, I have to like really, really, really be interested in it. And if not, then I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
But like, hey, like, if you, even if it's something that I don't really care, but yet you put together like a little competitive game like that. Well, guess what? I'm now in.
Oh yeah.
I'm in. Cause like now I want to compete. I want to win. Like, that's my personality. Right.
Absolutely.
So like, you introduce something like that into the mix, and it's like, it's a game changer.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you know, I'm also a big, I say outside the box a lot too. Like, I'm an outside the box thinker, and obviously you are, cause you set yourself too, but these things that you're doing, like, it's very creative, you know, and it just to be able to find simple ways like that with things that literally cost like next to no money, either no money or just very minimal. Even the thing with Will with the Legos, like, I never even would have thought about that.
Yeah.
Like, I never would have thought about that.
Yeah. And the things they came up with were just so, I mean, you know, they were solemn, of course. You know, someone built a gas chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else built like the train that would take them to the concentration camps. I mean, these kids just nailed it, literally.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would have connected as authentically.
No,
if we didn't do the Legos.
Oh, 100%. Because it just would have been like, they had a tangible thing.
Exactly.
And guess what? They're probably going to remember that for the rest of their lives. Cause like, they made that, like, again, like, I'm also the type of person, like, if I made one of those things, like, I would remember that, because I'd be like, oh my God, remember that time, you know, in eighth grade or whatever, and, you know, Janelle had us do this thing. Like,
yeah,
that's like, it's like real memorable, especially about learning something like that, you know, which could be, you know, as harsh as the situation is, but being able to learn about it that way, in a different way, in a creative way, where it's like, hey, like, I made something that represented that.
Right.
Like, it's like, you know, I mean, I'll probably remember the story forever, just myself. Like,
yeah.
It's very powerful. It's impactful. And obviously it's a huge part of history. It's, you know, glooming part of history. But like, obviously we need to learn from it. Like, we can't not teach that stuff.
Right.
I think it's
right.
So important. And I'm not the greatest with history myself.
Me neither.
I'll be completely honest.
Same.
You know, so like, I mean, I'm always open for learning that stuff too, because,
right.
You know, we forget about that stuff sometimes too. Like, you know, as we get older and. You know, it's just, again, like one of those things, like, it might not have been my favorite subject, but hey, you make it fun. You find ways for kids to just be engaging.
Right.
I think that's one of the biggest things, at least in my opinion, is just really engaging. Because when you really take the time to engage with somebody and show that you're interested in them,
right.
I think that's like one of the other key things. It's like,
absolutely.
If, and this goes with anything, like, not just, let's just put education aside for a minute. If we're doing something, anything, in a business transaction or ever. And if, like, if you're not taking genuine interest in the other person, like, they're gonna be like, oh, this guy doesn't give a shit about me.
Right.
Like, I'm not.
So it. Why
like,
should I care?
Why should I care?
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
You so gotta it's like, care.
You got to.
They have to know you care, Bill, or forget it.
And because the kids will know. Like, they will know. Like, they, you would think because they're kids, they wouldn't know and understand. I know you know this, but like, they can tell if you care or not.
Oh, they know more than anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Kids are so in tune with everything.
They are. It's crazy.
Anything. Like, it literally, the tone of my voice.
They could tell.
Mrs. S, are you okay today? You don't sound like yourself. And I'm like, oh, no, I just have, like, a little sore throat. Like, they know.
They're like, oh, like, I was running late today. I'm sorry. I was in a hurry.
Right.
So, you, like, they can probably tell you feel rushed.
Oh, anything. Every little thing.
It's wild.
They notice.
It's every like they pick up their thing. Like, yeah, they're like little sponges.
Oh, absolutely. And but the biggest thing is, do you care?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the most important thing. Just showing that little bit of care gets them to care. Mm-hmm. And then once you have that, then you're unstoppable. Then there are absolutely no limits as to what you can do.
Yeah.
As a teacher, because you could have the most beautiful lessons. I mean, you know, I've seen people with these typed up beautiful lessons, and you know what? It's all in the delivery. If you can't deliver those lessons, forget it. You might as well just burn them.
Yeah, they're useless.
Useless.
It's all like, and I know I've heard you say that before, but like, it's all in the delivery and it's all how you do it. Because like you said, same thing goes, I'll draw a parallel here. I could have the best equipment. I could have the best camera, the best this and that. But listen, if we can't execute on the work and do it to the client's expectation, we're dead in the water.
Exactly.
We're dead in the water.
Right. I know. Trust me. Sometimes I walk by some classrooms and, you know, not even just my colleagues, like other schools that I go into or whatever. And I'm like, wow, thank goodness I'm not in that classroom as a student, because I would be sleeping too.
Yeah.
You know, you have to know your audience.
Yeah.
And a lot of people forget that.
They do.
You know, and now more than ever with, you know, kids, they have the attention span literally of a gnat. The newest thing, Bill, it's really cool. And I'm going to be doing a lot of learning of this over the summer. Like you said, what do we do in the summer? So it's called micro learning. So it's learning a little bit at a time, because again, their attention spans just aren't there. So you do a little bit. I mean, think about it. If I'm at the front of my room teaching and lecturing these kids, you know, I probably lose them after 2-3 minutes. So it's micro learning. So you might go up, do a little bit, and then then they do like a think, pair, share, or you know, some kind of project.
Mix it up, change
it up. And then you go back, you do another little micro lesson, you know, micro learning,
like
teach
this.
Something, and then boom. Yeah, because well,
I feel like even me as an adult, I'm 35 years old, right? I feel like even me right now, like I would learn better like that.
Anyone would.
Yeah, because I mean, I have ADHD, but besides that, put that aside. I mean, for even if you don't have that, like just the having to hold attention. In today's day and age, I don't care who you are, what you do, how old you are, it's hard.
Absolutely.
It's hard.
Almost impossible.
Trust me, it is. I do it every day.
Like,
just because of the distractions.
Yeah.
Like, in as much as you want to say, oh, okay, I put my phone on silent. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, we're still going to peek at it. It's like, oh, sure, I got a couple messages right now. And
that's why I have the envelopes, Bill, because they can't even see the screen.
Exactly. So I can minimize the distractions.
Yeah.
Because, like, even just trying to be productive, like, even me myself, sometimes I'll come here, right? I'll sit down. I'll be like, all right, I know I got these tasks to do today. Pop up in the computer. Oh, my phone goes off.
Oh,
I'll answer this quick. Hello, right? You know, then I'm on the phone for 10 minutes. And then that 10 minutes turns into 30.
Yeah.
And then after that, then I forgot what I even started doing. Then I'm like, then I go out there. Then I grab a snack. And then it's like,
right,
that's it.
Your productivity is gone.
Done. Right in the toilet.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
And not just the productivity, but the one thing I really like about them being off of their phones is they get to connect. They have to look at the other person sitting next to them and realize, hey, this is so-and-so. Oh, maybe she's from the country where I'm from. Maybe we like the same music. We actually have to talk in person and learn how to communicate, you know, because today's generation.
Yeah, they don't want to do it. They just want to send a text.
Exactly.
I mean, I do too sometimes. I'm not going to lie. Like sometimes I just like to,
you know. There's nothing better than Bill, you're in interpersonal communication right here.
Yeah.
This is your business.
I know.
It's so important because this generation doesn't know how to do that.
Mm,
and
that's crazy.
Another thing I do on Fun Fridays, you know, we do a lot of speaking and listening activities. And one of my supervisors happened to be walking by, and I think she thought like the kids were just talking at first. And she's like, "What are you guys doing in here?" And I said, "Oh, well, you know, they're doing a little speaking and listening activity. So you get a card, and you know, you say like, what is this? And if you know what it is, you tell me. And if you don't know, I kind of ask you a question about it to give you a hint.
Okay.
And then I say, this is a whatever, you know, they're learning basic English.
Yep.
She's like, wow. She's like, Janelle, every single one of these kids is completely engaged in this. And I said, yeah, it's fun. And they have to look at each other and they have to talk. And then, you know, we switch every 5 minutes to a new partner. Which is even better, you know, because then they're getting to know.
Yeah, because it's different. You're going to communicate with everyone differently, and you get to know that person, and it's almost like you're starting over with each person, you know, especially if you don't really know each other at all.
Nope.
And each one of those interactions is going to be different. It's going to be different every time, whether you know the answer or not.
Right.
You know?
And it's neat because some of the kids will say like, oh, come on, you could get this one. Think about this. Or, you know, they give each other little hints. Yeah. And I'm like, they're cheering for each other. Like, I love to see that, you know? And I just stand back. And a lot of times, you know, like I said, some people might walk by my classroom and be like, oh, what is this? What is she doing
what the
today?
What's
like,
going on in there?
This is school. Yeah, this like, is the classroom.
Is she really teaching?
Right. Yeah. But a lot of times being the facilitator is really more important than being at the front of that room because really it should be a student-centered classroom, not a teacher-centered classroom, but a student-centered classroom. You know, sometimes we do have to take the spotlight as teachers when we're teaching our micro lessons, but other than that, it really should be student-centered. And think about, I mean, anybody, even anybody out there listening right now, even you, Bill, you could sit and think about some of the most best teachers, best lessons you've ever had, and I bet you every single one was student-centered.
Yeah, you're right. 100%. Like I'm having flashbacks to, you know, middle school, high school. And again, it was all those teachers that kind of just like gave us these things to do, gave us projects, gave us fun things to do. And like, it was engaging. It was interacting. It wasn't a dictator. Right. It wasn't just a dictator up in front
rules,
of the room.
Rules, you mean? Right.
Yeah.
The worst.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. No, I flourished with teachers like that, and to be honest, there was very few. Like I can only count on one hand, like, right. and it's not five, it's less than five.
And that's why we have such a learning crisis in the United States. We're not competitive with, you know, the world. The U.S. started this big thing called STEM learning, which is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, because that's where we're the weakest. And so all of this was supposed to be a way to teach our students, you know, to think critically, to problem solve. And, you know, so now you'll hear a lot of STEM education. It's a big thing. There's even STEM schools. And do I think it's helping a little bit? Yeah, it is, but it's still not enough. You know, we need more of that hands-on learning, you know, not just for VOTEC students, for all students.
So when you said crisis, I mean, that's a very serious word.
Well, crisis. We the United States produces the least number of engineers out of any country.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
I think I've been kind of saying it without really even knowing really what's going on. So I'm glad we're having this conversation because I'd like to learn about, you know, as I have young kids now, and obviously, you know, they're going to be going to school soon, right? Like, to hear that there's a crisis in the American education system, I mean, that's like, it's like pretty serious.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, violence is at an all-time high in schools, and not just the thing that bothers me the most is, and I mean, there's always little scuffles and fights in schools, and that's fine, but it's these students that want to record the violence, and they're all about getting these viral videos, and they flock to violence. I mean, I've seen kids jump up on tables to record a fight. Or even if they think there's going to be something violent. And so in society, like I said, we have a critical role as a public school system to really make a change. And we need to implement things. Because again, a lot of these kids aren't learning these things at home. You can't assume like, oh, well, you know, Bill should know better. He should know not to do this. No. Bill doesn't know any better. Bill needs to be taught. Bill needs to see it modeled. And, you know, that attitude, if more teachers had that attitude, I don't think we'd have the shortage. You know, not just teachers, but superintendents, principals, supervisors.
Yeah, the whole education system.
The whole education system. It does need a major overhaul.
I'm glad you said that. It really does. I'm glad you said that because, you know, I feel like there may be a lot of people that, in your position, that wouldn't come on a public platform like this and say something like that, you know? So thank you for saying that, because I think it's going to help, you know, like even though it has like a little bit of a, you know, black cloud over it. But at the same time, if we don't talk about these things, if we don't talk about these things, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. Nobody's going to do anything. So I really applaud you for, you know, bringing this to light, having the courage to talk about these things, having these conversations, and just by you continually doing the things you do in day in, day out to, like, you know, to make, even if even if you're the only one doing it, right. At least you're doing it. You're doing something.
I want to be part of the solution for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. I want to help the next generation.
Yeah.
Because this next generation, Bill, they're going to be the ones taking care of us.
I know.
And you got to think about that.
That's scary to think about.
It is. And so, you know, we want to make sure as a teacher, I want to make sure, I know my husband is the same way, that we give them the skills that they're going to need to just do better, mm-hmm. just to be better, to be functioning members of society, you know, to get involved on, you know, boards of directors and to volunteer their time mm-hmm. in the community.
Yeah, get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something I started a few years ago. After the Wilkes-Barre Area School District closed the three high schools and merged, and I was moved down to middle school. And, you know, I started thinking about, okay, these kids don't really have a sense of community. And how can I get them to have a better sense of community? So I started doing these little community service projects and to try to teach them that, hey, you don't have to have money to be an impact, you know, to have an impact on your community. So, you know, we make like Valentine's cards for the nursing homes and we send them, and we make Veterans Day cards for the veterans and we send them, and we do little notes, you know, like to teachers to say like, hey, thanks so much for everything you do for my class and, mm-hmm. and, or in my life and things like that. And just to show them like, hey, it's good to acknowledge someone else for what they're doing. And you don't need money to do that.
Yeah.
You know,
it costs nothing to be kind.
Exactly. You could give your time.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's actually worth more than money.
Absolutely. But they don't, if they were never shown that, they wouldn't know
it. They don't know the difference.
No. And it was really neat. It was about 2 years ago, I was at GAR Middle School and this Little Flower Manor, which is up there, you know, mm-hmm. we did the Valentine cards for them, and their executive director sent this card to my principal at the time and just thanking us and saying, you know, how awesome it was to see that the students were taking an interest of the elderly in their community. Mm. And I thought, wow. And, you know, I didn't know the card was even sent. And then it was on the counter in the main office. And I'm like, oh, what's this card? Oh, this is cool. And I was like, oh, wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like they're being recognized.
Yeah. Like somebody took the time.
Exactly. And I was like, wow. And so I took the card. I said, you know, can I, you know, she left it out on the counter for all the faculty and parents to see as they came in. But I said, you know what? Can I borrow this for a day or so? I want to show every kid in my class. And they were like, wow, miss, they really enjoyed it that much. I said, yeah. I said, you made their day. You know, that little card that you put your time and effort. And, you know, yeah. we write like a little message. I always have like a general message
yep.
that they could use. Or I always say, you know, you could add your own little message to it too. And I mean, the messages are just beautiful. Mm. Like they'll say things like, you are so loved. You know, I hope you have the best day. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah. So not really, you know, kind of shifting gears here, but not, but what's going on with CNG?
Well, Bill, we just celebrated 6 years.
Yeah, congrats, by the way.
Thanks, thanks. Yeah. You know, it's unbelievable. We're helping more kids than ever. It's really neat to see and to hear all the positives that are coming out of it. And right now we're really busy with SATs. Since the last time I was on here, we did have somebody hit a perfect score on the verbal section, which was awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Shout out to Jackson Wentz from Abington Heights High School. He's going to Emory University. And he hit a perfect
That's
score
awesome.
On the verbal. I know. Math was pretty darn close too. I think it was like 760, something like
wow.
that. Yeah. Just some really big scores. And so the SAT's gone totally digital. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't.
Yeah. So you have to either borrow a laptop from the testing center or bring your own.
Mm.
You are allowed pencil and paper, but you have to ask for it.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And they were going to do the calculator digitally, too. But then they wound up allowing that to be brought in. I mean, okay. I just can't imagine. It's just hard for me. Like, imagine clicking. Like, you know how you click
yeah,
the calculator.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
you hear that traditional,
yes.
like the adding machine, you
yep,
know?
Yep.
And so they were going to have a digital calculator, but then they decided, you know, to allow the calculators. But they definitely changed up the format of the test. You know, if you take your section and you don't get so many questions right, you get a lower version. You get an easier version. So you're not, you know, even in the running for that top score.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough, you know, a lot more pressure for the students. But
yeah.
don't worry, CNG Tutoring's got it down to a science. My tutors are awesome, the verbal and the math, and we definitely have been hitting the ground running, and mm-hmm. we are totally strategized everything. We've had some really big scores even digitally. And it's really cool because we also have like these virtual sessions. So, you know, I always compare like scores, like, okay, if this kid came to all in-person sessions, are they doing as well as the kid who only has virtual sessions? And the jury is in, Bill.
The verdict. Yeah. What is it?
And
what is it?
Let me tell you, it's absolutely even.
Wow.
You could still get just as big of a score. We've had kids that, you know, we've never met in person, only virtual.
Wow.
And have just as high of scores.
Based on your method.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really neat.
That's awesome to hear.
Yeah, it's really neat. So, and it's really convenient for parents too, because, you know, we're already taxi cabs. You'll see, Bill, your kids are still a little bit young, but
yeah.
get ready to start driving. I mean, just everywhere. Practice, that, clubs, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's really neat because they don't have to worry about going anywhere. They just go to their computer mm-hmm. and hop on for an hour so they don't lose time, you know, the travel time to and from. And then mom and dad get a little break and, you know, they're still getting their sessions in, which is really great.
Yeah. Are you facing any challenges?
Just we need more math tutors. So
so shout out if anybody is a math teacher, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Specific, but
go ahead. Definitely some high school math. You know, I had to turn people away this year, and that really upset me because I never want to turn away a student who wants to learn better.
Yeah, that's sad.
Who has an academic goal, and it was just so hard. It was so hard for me to even say to, like, the parents or guardians or whoever called.
Don't have the capacity right now.
Yeah, it was really, really hard. And I try, and I have an awesome team, and I try to recruit, you know, more, but just, I know people are busy, but, you know, I even have somebody from industry tutoring in math who does awesome. He just loves math, and he thinks, you know, math is really important, and he takes on clients, and he's awesome. So, you know, it doesn't just have to be a teacher. It could be somebody who just loves, you know, learning and teaching. And I have a college student. She's like a fourth year engineering student at Wilkes. And she has been with us since her freshman year.
That's awesome.
And shout out to Sarah Sapinski. She's awesome. She just got her paid internship, Pride Mobility. So I'm really proud of her. And she is a phenomenal tutor.
That's cool.
It's awesome. So even college students can help, you know, tutor. Because, you know, if that's your thing, and you never know, you might find a hobby or a calling that you never knew you had.
Yeah. And, you know, I said, and I just said this on a podcast that I was on recently as a guest. And I said, like, I think everybody genuinely, like, deep down, like, there's something unique or special about every single person. And I think a lot of people just don't realize that they have something inside them. And I think it takes the right setting, the right place, the right circumstances for that to be brought out of you. You know, and I think a lot of it also starts with you, though, by just trying, doing different things, being vulnerable, putting yourself out there, but then also surrounding yourself with people like you who really, truly care and are really, truly trying to make a difference. And it's not just, you're not just doing it to do it. Like there's so much purpose behind it. It's like a lifelong calling. And I think, you know, a lot of people may look at you or a lot of people may look at me and be like, oh, how did he figure out his purpose? How did he figure out like what he will really want to do and want to do? And it's like, well, hey, listen, you know, maybe for me, you know, so it may come easier for some people. Some people it may not. Some people may take them half their life.
Yeah.
You know, some people may have to go through most of their life to finally then realize like, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. I want to make a change. And you know what? It's not too late. I always say it's never too late. It's never too late to learn anything. It's never too late to start over, by the way. I think that's the biggest one.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Never too late to start over. I think a lot of people just are afraid to humble themselves and take that step backwards.
Yeah, they're afraid to try.
They are, because they don't want to look silly. They don't want to look foolish, especially when you're further on into your life, you're further into your career. Maybe you have a family, maybe you don't, maybe you have a house, maybe you don't. But it's like, you don't want to take that step back. You don't want to have to quote unquote downsize. But you know what? Sometimes you need to downsize to grow more.
Right.
And that's just the reality.
You have to have faith, Bill.
Yeah.
Faith.
That's it.
There's like a little saying, and I'm sorry if I get it a little bit wrong, but it's like a mother is talking to a daughter and she says, well, mom, what happens if I fall? And she said, but what happens if you fly? And I think that's just a beautiful statement. And I think if more people were willing to take that chance to try to fly, I mean, my gosh, the world would be an awesome place. Let's put it that way.
For sure. And I love that quote too. And I think I referenced that not long ago somewhere else.
Oh,
too.
Get out. That's so
I
funny.
I did because it's like, you know, you're thinking about these things and it's like, everybody says like, oh, like what could go wrong? And I say, what could go right?
Exactly.
And it's very similar. Right, it's a, right. It's a very similar thing to what you just said, yeah. But people always look at the negative side of it. Like, what if it doesn't work out? Yeah, but what if it does?
Exactly, right.
That's the thing.
Too much time is spent worrying about the what ifs. You can't worry about the what ifs. You have to just go for it, you know?
You can't change that.
No, and that's something that, you know, I hope that I could teach my own kids. That like my mother taught me that, you know, never be afraid to be yourself and do what you want. Like, you could do anything. And I hope I could get my own children to believe that in themselves, because I think that's just huge. And my students. Yeah.
And I think they will. I think just by your actions, you know, by just you being you day in and day out as a mother, as a wife, as an educator, as a friend, you know, all those things, everything. I think just by you existing, I think you're probably doing it and you probably just don't realize it. And I think we all are in a way. And it's so hard sometimes to take a step back and look at ourselves from like a third party. But I really do think just by you doing what you do day in, day out, and just your actions, I think it says it all. I mean, like, you really, like, essentially, like, you're like a role model, because like you're doing the things, just and them seeing you do what you do. Like, I think it's enough. Like, you know what I mean? You're probably affecting, you know, not just your kids, but all these other kids that have come through. And it's a powerful thing.
Yeah, it really is. That was one thing I learned in California, being around all these other women and Nexstar Media. They really did a great job. I mean, they just put so much money, time, effort into recognizing, you know, remarkable women around the world. And one woman said, you know, it's time for you to stop. Just for right now, just, you're always giving, but just take a moment and receive. And it was really hard, because I was at this awesome conference, you know, and they spared no expense. I mean, everywhere we walked, there was this awesome purple carpet. I mean, it was just great. And it was just so hard. And it wasn't just for me either, because there was all these other women who just give and give and give and just want, you know, to help others. And then we had to take those couple days and just receive.
Yeah.
And it was so different.
Yeah. Sometimes it's difficult.
It was. Right? It really is difficult. Yeah.
I know the feeling. I know.
But it's definitely something that I took away from it that I'm going to make sure that I remember, you know, that it's okay to also receive once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you don't receive, you know, you might give everything all away and you have nothing left to give. So sometimes you have to be on the receiving end.
To be able to then give more.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So if anyone wants to learn more about CNG tutoring, if they're interested in signing up, like, where do they need to go? How can somebody find you?
Sure. You guys can find us at www.cngtutoring.com. We're also on Facebook, Instagram. You can reach out to us via phone, 570-362-6144, or you can email cngtutoring@gmail.com.
And let me know if I can ever come for Fun Fridays. I'm interested in Fun Fridays.
Awesome. Definitely. So. You're booked for next fall for sure, Bill.
I can't wait to be there. Well, this was great. I'm so glad. Let's not wait this long to have you back on again. Like I said, I obviously, since I've had you on that first time a few years ago, I've obviously been following you. We've been following each other, vice versa, like all these years. And it's so cool to see, you know, like the things that you've done since then. So, I mean, 3 years, it sounds like a lot, but it's also not, you know, and just to see the things that, you know, this, I mean, just, it's incredible. And, you know, I'm grateful that, you know, you're here today and sharing these experiences and sharing, you know, everything that you're doing for all these kids. It's a feat.
Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate that.
And I'm proud to call you a friend. And
thanks.
Yeah. So.
But hey, listen, we're here to build a better community.
That's right.
And this is our community, and it's only what we make of it. You know, what you put in is what it's going to be. So.
I say that same thing all the time.
I know you're one of those change makers with me, you know, for sure. And I'm really happy that our paths crossed. And, you know, I just look forward to the future and just making the Wyoming Valley even better place to live.
Absolutely. All right. Janelle Seaton on the Stacks, the MPP studio. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
If you want to see more On the Stacks content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/onthestackspodcast or search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.